The goal of tonight's discussion is, of course, Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, and also the purpose of Kvod Shamayim, of increasing our religious consciousness, our connection with Hashem, and our furtherance of Yiddishkeit. And that's all in a positive vein, and that's the purpose of this discussion. It's not so easy to have this discussion because feelings are running high on this topic. For those who have not been following the news, last week in Beit Shemesh there was an incident in which someone apparently spat on a girl, an 8-year-old girl who was going to school. And this is the culmination of a period of high tension between different groups that are living in Beit Shemesh. And so certainly a very unfortunate circumstance in general. And this particular incident is obviously abhorrent and reprehensible and intolerable. It needs to be condemned in the strongest of terms. And it was. In the first pages of your packet, you'll find it from the OU and the RCA. And then there's a beautiful essay by Rabbi Yitzchak Adlerstein of Los Angeles. But I think we need to look at it, as we always do, as we look at all the issues in our life, from a perspective of Jewish tradition, of Jewish sources, an honest and a direct perspective, as much as possible, as objective as we can be, on the issues at hand. So I want to start with the realization that this phenomenon, the phenomenon of radicals, of hooligans, of maniacs, who are purportedly a part of the Orthodox traditional Jewish community, but who act in ways that are so shameful, they're so beyond the pale of reason, of what we would all consider, whatever anyone normal would consider appropriate Yiddishkeit, this phenomenon is actually age old. It's very old. See, the Mishnah tells us on page 6 that there used to be something called Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is a law that's laid down in the Torah regarding an unknown murder victim who was found out, and we don't know, it's found out in the farmland or in a field somewhere on a road. Lo no damiko, we don't know who the murderer was. So the elders of the nearest city come and they cut off the head of a calf with a procedure called Egla Arufa, where they proclaim that they didn't abandon this person, they take responsibility for this person, they ask for atonement. But the Mishnah says at a certain point in the Second Temple period, this went out of fashion. They ceased performing Egla Arufa. Why? Says the Mishnah, Misharabu haratzchanin. When the murderers abounded, they couldn't do Egla Arufa anymore, because the Kati explains, we know who the murderers are. The Mishnah tells you. Mishaba Elazar ben Dinai Utchina ben Prisha Hayanikra Chazur Lakros of Ben Aratzchan. Murderers! Quote unquote, part of the Jewish world, murderers. Unbelievable. And similarly, toward the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, under the Roman occupation, the Mishnah tells us in Source 7, and the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin tells us there's a special halacha in Shulchan Aruch regarding the sale of particular kind of land. Land which is taken by what the Mishnah calls Sikrikon. Who are Sikrikon? So Rashi says they are Nach Oved Kochavim, they are Gentiles who are Rotzeach, who are murderers, who say, Shenosan lo Yisrael karka bepidyo nafsho. They hold you up, they say, I will kill you. And you say, don't kill me, I'll give you my field. Says the Mishnah in Bikurim, this is true, this principle of Sikrikon, that the field doesn't fully belong to the violent perpetrator, is true for the mitzvah of Bikurim. If you are, says the Mishnah in Perek Aleph, in Source 8, if you are bringing fruits from the field of a Sikrikon, You can't recite the verse Ad Mascha, your field, because you're a gangster. It's not your field. Says the Bar Tanur here, these are Horig Nefashos. He doesn't say Nachrim. Doesn't say Gentiles. These are Jews. These are Jewish gangsters, murderers. And they're chronicled in Jewish history. The Gemara tells us in that Mishnah in Maseches Gittin that in the waning days of the second Beis HaMikdash, they were overwhelmed with these radicals. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Show of hands, familiar with the name Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Quite a few of you, right? The sage, the great sage at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. He's living in Yerushalayim under siege of the Romans. The Gemara tells us they had three wealthy men. Their names were Kalba Savua, Ben Tzitzis Hakeses, and Nakdimon Ben Gurion. Three wealthy men. Says the Gemara, they had enough to sustain Yerushalayim in famine for 21 years. One problem, though. Says the Gemara, 9, in the underline, Havabuhu Hanu Biryoni. There were these Biryonim, warmongers, radicals, fringe crazies. Amrlu l'rabban, and they said to the rabbis, the rabbi said to them, Nefek v'navid shlomo ba'adai, we got to go make peace with the Romans because we have a lost cause on our hands. Says the Gemara, lo shavkinu, the rebels, these fringe radicals, didn't allow the rabbis to make peace. And they said, no, navid krava ba'adayu, let's fight. The rabbi said, lo mistayim milsa, it's a lost cause. Says the Gemara, kamu Kalinu Lahanu Amroi Dechiti Vasari Vahavakafna. Do you know what the rebels did? They burnt down the storehouses. Everything gone. And now there's a famine. Mishugoim. Mamish Mishugoim. Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. The fact that we have crazies today, it's not news to us. They were violent, crazy people in those days. Get out of town. You will not believe this. The leader of the Biryonim Yerushalayim, the Gemara says, was named Abba Sikra, who was the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says the Gemara, Sholach le tobitzina lekamoi, sent his nephew, come over here, get over here. We need to talk. They met in a clandestine meeting, and what happened? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, how long are you going to do this and kill everyone in the famine? Says Abba Sikra, Omale, the last line in the underlines in the second section. My Iavid, what can I do? Di'i amina luhumidi, if I tell them something, katluli, they will kill me. Meaning, the rebels are so out of control that even the leader of the rebels has no control. No one has control. This is not a new phenomenon. And there are scholarly articles. I gave you two pages. You can take a look. One is from the Journal of Religion by Richard Horsley, who points out there were different groups in this first century in Eretz Yisrael. The Zelotai, the Sikroi, and the Listoi. Bandits, gangsters, crazy people. And the proliferation was everywhere, from the Galil all the way to Yerushalayim. Why were they called Sikrikon? Because they killed with daggers that were called Sikroi. These are Jews. The second page from page 11 from the Harvard Theological Review points out an interesting phenomenon. That from at least Maccabean times, many Jews fostered the admiration of zeal, and individuals undertook or were thought to be zealots on the models of Pinchas and Eliyahu. This is where it starts to get complicated. They say, look, we are Chashmonaim, we're Maccabees. We're zealots, we're like Pinchas. Oh, really? Are we like Pinchas, are we not? Is that legitimate, is it not? So there is a first consideration raised by Rabbi Bini Lau in his book, The Sages, which is a new translation of several works that he's put out on the Chachamim of Bais Sheni. And he points out, he says, and it's on page 12, he says, wait a second. The combination of certain forces, I'm in the third paragraph down, creates alliances that undermine the legitimacy of any struggle, of any revolt. This happens when negative criminal elements infiltrate those of pure and holy motivation. Says Rav Bini Lau, the first thing we have to keep in mind is some of these people, they're just plain criminals. They're just miscreants. They're just deviants. And there's nothing pure and holy about that. This is the first thing to keep in mind. And I'm sure the same thing is true today. Ein chodesh tachas ha-shemesh. Just a criminal element. That's the first thing. The fact that they're quote-unquote part of any particular religious community doesn't change the fact that they're criminals, some of these people. That's the first thing. But the second thing is we have to take an honest-to-goodness look at our tradition and talk about what do we say about zealotry in Jewish tradition? What do you say about this notion of the Maccabees and the Pinchas? And we have to be honest with ourselves that this exists. This is part of our tradition. The Mishnah tells us on page 13, a Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin, the ninth chapter, Hagoni v'sakasva, someone who steals vessels from the Beis HaMikdash, v'amekalol b'kosim, someone who curses God with an idolatrous rite, v'haboal aramis, someone who lives with a Gentile woman, think in your mind, Pinchas, in the episode with Zimri and Cosby, Zimri the head of the Shevet Shimon and Cosby the Midianite girl, Kanoim Pogimbo, zealots, take him down. Similarly, says the Mishnah, Kohen Sheshimesh Betuma, any Kohen that dares to go into the Beis HaMikdash in a status of Tuma, in a defiled status, says the Mishnah, Ein Echov HaKohanim, Evian Olsel Bezdin. The other Kohanim, they don't take him to court. El Apirche Kohuna, the young people of the Kohuna, Motzian Osochutz Lazara, they take him out of the Azara, U Motzian Esmochu Begizrin. They poke his brain out with spears. Right there on the spot. It's pretty violent. So that's one important perspective. We don't put down the Maccabees. It's important. But I would point out, and this is going to be the theme of the next three segments this evening, is that we have to look at the totality of Jewish tradition and see everything with its counterbalance and its context. So that's the Mishnah, right? But on this Mishnah, there's a passage of Talmud Bavli. So the Talmud Bavli tells us on 14, the first thing is, Omer of Chizda, Haboli Molech, what's that?
Kanoi.
What's that?
Kanoi Habol.
Doesn't it say Kanoi first? Where the bracket is, Omer of Chizda, Haboli Molech. You see where it is?
Yes, but I see another word in front of
it. No, not where the arrow is, where the bracket is in the middle.
Down here.
Yeah, that's the Gemara. Haboli Molech. Someone who comes to ask the rabbi, Rabbi, what should I do in this circumstance where I see someone stealing a Kli Sharis, etc.? Ein Morid Lo. You do not rule this for them. You don't publicize this ruling. If someone comes and asks the Shaila the Bezin, they won't tell them to do this. Because this is only if it comes from the person themselves. And not only does it mean it has to come from the person who is the Kanoi themselves, similarly, the last thin line in this column, four lines later, V'lo od, Ela she'impiresh Zimri v'hargo Pinchas, if Zimri, the Jewish man, would separate from this woman, this non-Jewish woman who is desecrating, and that's if you look at the Rambam, the Pirush Mishnah, points out that it was a desecration of God's name in front of the entire Jewish people. He was with this woman in front of everyone in the end of Parshas Balak. In that case, if they stop their act, Vahargo Pinchas Nera Golov, Pinchas, if he would have killed him then, the second it's over, he's liable for the death penalty. And not only that, says the Gemara, if Zimri would have turned around and killed Pinchas the zealot, he would have been the right. Because Pinchas is a rodef, he's a pursuer. So what is even this Gemara? This Gemara tells us that the very, very limited application of this din. The first is, it's only in the window of at the moment, at the time of the act, not afterwards. And even if you were to ask the Bezin, they wouldn't tell you this. It has to be just at that right time, without any type of planning. And it has to be, as we'll see in a second, has to be the right person. You can read the end of the Gemara at another time. Go to source 16. It says the Talmud Yerushalmi. Parallel text, similar Mishnah. Says the Yerushalmi, not only that, that's not just the limit. Says the Yerushalmi, when Pinchas did this act, you know what the rabbi said? Where the arrow is in the left column? Shelo Bertzon Chachamim. It was against the wishes of the rabbi that he speared Zimri, that he killed him with a spear. Really? So the Gemara says, that's true. And not only that, Bikshu Lanadosa, they wanted to excommunicate him. Ulule Shekafza Olav Ruach HaKodesh. The only reason we think that he did the right thing, that he was the right man for the job, is because divine inspiration said, the Ruach HaKodesh said, V'haisa Brisi Bris Kuhunas Olam. V'haisa Lol Zarach or Bris Kuhunas Olam. He gets the reward. Otherwise, we would say that's a terrible thing to do. You don't just run wild with these things, says the Talmud Yerushalmi. They're very narrow. It's not quite as expansive as you thought. Why did he need this blessing? After all, he did the right thing, says the Netziv in the HaMegdavar on 17. He says, you know why? Because somebody who does a violent, savage act, even if it's the right thing, sanctioned by the prophecy, they might become violent people. They might develop a violent personality. Therefore, he needed a blessing. But why did they think that Pinchas was the wrong man for the job? Didn't he have all the right circumstances? It was in the act. It was public desecration. It was a Jewish man with this non-Jewish woman in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, in front of the Ohel Moed, everybody. Says the Torah Tamima on 18. Says the Baruch Epstein, his comment on this Yerushalmi, says, you know why? In Lamed Aleph on page 18. He says, because maybe maybe Pinchas was doing this because of a personal negia, a personal issue he had, a vendetta. Maybe he's just an angry guy. Maybe he's bloodthirsty. Maybe he's a criminal. Who knows? So the other rabbi said, who are you to do this? Says the Rabbono Shel Olam, I, the divine, can testify. He's okay. But other than that, who's so sure? So number one, it's the circumstance. Number two, it's the person. It's the right kanoi. To close this loop, there's a comment of Rav Avram Shapira, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Rosh Yeshiva Americus Arav, the former chief rabbi of Israel, whom I had the privilege and the pleasure, the great honor of knowing. He was an amazing man. He was a real Talmud Chacham, chief rabbi, who was 4 feet 11 and head and shoulders above all those who knew him. It was amazing. He was mamish, a very short man. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Oh, and he was also very funny. He had a very good sense of humor. So Rav Shapira was interviewed over 30 years ago by the Truman Journal, and he points out, and this, by the way, remember, keep in your mind, someone, Rachmana Litzlan, claimed about a prime minister of Israel that he was a rodef and took those matters into his hands. Says Rav Shapiro about the din of Kanoim Pogimbo, about zealots. Says, number one, we saw from the Gemara that it's very limited. And number two, he says, when it comes to national issues, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry, even if they are a zealot, L'shem Shemayim, even if they have all the criteria, the in the criteria in the specific situation. Not everybody is authorized to make decisions about all of Klal Yisrael. You need to be from the Gedolei Yisrael. You need to ask shailos of the greatest people of the generation. So yes, on the one hand, we do have the din of Kanoim Pogim Bo. On the other hand, we have all these important qualifications before it's applied. Similarly, I'm going to go through two more planes whereby we will find these different balancing forces between extreme statements of our tradition and other balancing forces. Let's start with Hashkafa, an example. The Gemara tells us in Arvei Pesachim, in the 10th parak on page 20, Om Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Bar Rav Yitzchak. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rav Yitzchak, said, I'm a Rav in the name of Rav, Mutar Lesnoso. If someone says Lashon Hara about someone, you can hate the slanderer. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Kisirech Amor Sonacha Roveitz Tachas Masa'o. If you see the donkey of someone whom you hate, crushed under his burden. So Gemara says, my sone, what kind of hate are you talking about here? Pasuk says, you're not allowed to hate somebody. You're not allowed to hate Jews. Says Gemara, yes you are, if the person is over Avera. If a person does an Avera, you're allowed to hate them. Either you have testimony that they violated an Avera, or you saw them do an Avera. Not only that, the conclusion of the Gemara is, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, mitzvah lesnoso. It's a mitzvah to hate the wicked. Shenemar yiras Hashem sonei ra. We have to hate the wicked. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to hate the wicked. So that's an attitude. It's an attitude that Chazal want us to cultivate. That's an attitude. It's a Gemara, black and white. And yet there's another Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, and look at the language in the next page. Hanu biryoni. What do we see biryoni are? The gangsters, the radicals. Hava b'shavavuse de Rav Meir. They were hanging out in the neighborhood of Rav Meir. Vahava kabatzarule, and they were bothering him. So what did he do? He used to pray, Boy rachme aleu kihechi delamusu. What did he do? He prayed that they should drop dead. Good idea, right? Pray they should drop dead. Omrele Bruria Devesu. His wife, Bruria, who appears several times in Shas, because she was an extremely wise, pious, and insightful woman, she said to him, what are you talking about? My daitech, why are you saying that? Dechsiv, it says, Yitamu Chatoim. The sins should be abolished from the earth. Miksiv Chotim? Does it say the sinners? It doesn't say the sinners, it says the sins. She said, you shouldn't say that. Don't say they should die. Don't say they should die. So you know what he did? He said, you're right. Boy Rachme Alayu, first wide line at the end of the line. He's prayed for them. Dilahadru b'tshuva. That they should go back in tshuva. And guess what? Hadru b'tshuva. They repented. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us you have to hate the wicked. On the other hand, the Gemara also tells us you got to pray for them to repent. You can't throw them down the drain. And this next story is an unbelievable story. If it wasn't in the Gemara, you would tell me it's a folk story related by, you know, it's a fabricated story. Someone made up. I'm not saying that Reb Shlomo Karlbach's stories are made up, but someone might say he made this story up. This is a Shlomo Karlbach story. It's an unbelievable story. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Reb Zera, one of the Amorim, in his neighborhood, look in the bracket in 23, who lived there? Hanu Biryoni. The same radical Meshugoim. They lived in his neighborhood. And what happened? He was Miskariv to them. He used to hang out with them. He used to hang out with the radicals, with the lowlifes, with the hooligans. And the rabbis were upset. What happened? Kinoch Nafshi to Reb Zera. When Reb Zera died, Amri, they said, the hooligans said, Ad ha'idno, until now, have a charicha katin sake, da have a boy alon rachme. Charicha katan sake is a Talmudic expression for shorty with the burnt pants, basically. Because there was a story elsewhere in the Gemara that Reb Zera had burnt feet because he once sat in an oven and he happened to be very short. So the gangsters called Reb Zera, who was the Av Bezdin of their city. He was the greatest Talmud Chacham around. What did the gangsters call the rabbi? They called him Shorty with the burnt pants. And the gangsters said to themselves, wait a second. When Shorty was alive, he used to pray for us. And now that he's dead, now what will happen to us? Says the Gemara, Hirhurhu bilibayu va'avdu tshuva. They thought about it for a little bit, and they did tshuva, they changed their ways. Rabosai, Reb Zera, what did he tell them? Nothing. He told them nothing. He was just close with them. And what happened? They called him Shorty, for crying out loud. Yet, they were chozer b'tshuva. It's a balance. There's a balance here between the two different hashkafas. We have to know when to apply and how. In what circumstance? What kind of Rasha are you talking about? What kind of person are you? What kind of person are they? The story is unbelievable. Don't just run away. And this has become like the mantra, the major theme among many Chassidish Rebbes. This is a sefer by Rav Yaakov Feldberg called Ayelas HaShachar, where he quotes many ma'amarim from different Chassidish Svarim on page 24. And other Svarim, like Rav Moshe Cordovero, the great Kabbalist of the 16th century in Tzfat, about loving Rishayim, about bringing close the wicked. So what will you tell me? It's not either, it's both. They're both part of our tradition. And therefore we have to balance both of these sentiments. And they influence each other. It's not just one. What happens is that when a person takes one out of context by itself, then you become radical. Then you become unbalanced. That's off the path. The same thing, I will argue, is in the world of halacha. I'll give you an example. I'll go to page 25. The Gemara tells us, Amrav Yoram Arav, Hamotzi Kilayim Bebigdo, Poshtar Afilu Beshuk, Brachas Yotesim Ebeiz, if someone finds Kilayim Shatnez in their shirt, you have to take it off, even in the street. Now, there's a debate in the Rishonim, how to interpret this. The Shulchan Aruch interprets this, that this means, if I see my friend who is wearing kilayim in the street, I run over to them, shatnez, wool and linen together, I run over to them, and I rip the shirt off their back. Period. Now the Ramah, Moshe Yisraelis, for Ashkenazim, cuts this down a little bit, the difference between mezid and shogeg. So that's a very radical statement. So the first thing the Gemara says is, wait a second, there are several caveats to this halacha. The first one is, how serious is the shatnez that he's wearing? You have to figure out. In the first underline, is it an issur d'rabbanan or is it an issur d'oraisa? You know, if it's only an issur d'rabbanan, says the Gemara, there's another principle in halacha called kavod abrios, personal dignity. And kavod abrios, personal dignity, it pushes off any issur d'rabbanan. Kavod abrios, that's a halachic imperative. Furthermore, says the Gemara, there's also a question of, is it an Iser function or a Mamon question? Maybe if it's a Mamon question, like Hashavas Aveda, which is financial, it's not the same either. The third caveat the Gemara gives on 26, next page, Sheval Tasa Adif. There's another factor. It depends how the person is violating the Aveda, how you're going to step up to them. There are a lot of factors here. You can't just take one line and run with it. And I'll give you even a more extreme example on 27. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Chavav Mebeiz, about a min. A min is a heretic. A mesoros. What's a moser? What's a moser?
Somebody who turns over to the government.
Exactly. Someone who rats out.
An informer.
Exactly. An informer. Vahamumarim, an apostate, says the Gemara, Moridin Velomalin. You know what you should do? Moridin. Take him down, ladies and gentlemen. For this, Chicago was very good, right? Cement shoes, ladies and gentlemen. Moridim ve'ein malin. You come up with some way to put them down, folks. says the Gemara. You put them down. You see them in a ditch, give them a little shove. Ain't malin, don't pick them up. You put them down. That's the Gemara, right? That's one value. This is part of our tradition. Yet, says the Chazon Ish. Now, the Chazon Ish is not living in Chicago in 2011. Chazon Ish lives in Bnei Brak. Remember, the Chazon Ish, he lives in a very specific community. Chazon Ish was so immersed in Torah that he wouldn't even become a Rosh Hashiva. All he did was learn. He would not become a Rosh Hashiva. All he did was learn. That's it. Says the Chazon Ish, this Gemara doesn't apply anymore. Because there's a counterbalance halachic argument. I'm not making this up, folks. Page 28, you see the Chazon Ish in front of you. Someone would say, I'm making this up. It's a Chazon Ish in Hilchos Shechita, where he deals with... What's that? When, just now? Baruch Dynamis. Someone passed away. Okay. Okay. So the Chazon Ish says that this din of Moed and Ve'ein Malin, of putting people down and not letting them up, that was the time when there was prophecy, when there was nevuah, when there was a religious community, says the Chazon Ish, where putting someone down would help strengthen the religious community. Says the Chazon Ish, today, when we live in a secular world, what will happen if we put down Rishayim? So it's just going to make people hate Yiddishkeit more. It's not going to increase our level of Yerushamayim. Says the Chazon Ish, Hosofa Sapirza, it's going to cause more people to rebel. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, this Gemara doesn't apply. Because there's a counterbalance in Halacha. Two more. There's a Gemara in Yevamos. Quotes a Pasuk in Mishlei. Says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Dirocheha Darchei Noam, V'chol Nesivoseha Shalom. The ways of the Torah are peace. Says the Gemara, you know what this means? It's not just nice to sing in the sanctuary. It's not just nice to say in a sermon. This is a halacha! This pasuk tells us something about halacha. It's a halachic variable. Meaning, if a woman dies, a husband dies, and they have one child, so the woman is free to get married, right? What if the child, after the woman gets married, Rachmana Litzlan, the child dies? So now the woman has no children from her previous marriage. Is she now responsible to do chalitza to the former brother-in-law?
So she's remarried.
She's already remarried, but maybe she needs to do chalitza now, because now her former husband has no children. Says the Gemara, said, no, it can't be. You know why? Because it says, Dirachei Adarchei Noam. What's her husband going to feel like if his wife has to go out and do chalitza? And what's she going to feel like if her whole life, while her son is alive, she's going to feel like, wait a second, maybe I'll need to do chalitza, maybe I'll need to do chalitza. What kind of life is that, says the Gemara? Elamai, the din is, if at the time the husband dies they had a child, that's it, no more chalitza. Why? Dirachei Adarchei Noam. Because that's a halachic value that goes into the mix. And that's why, says the Rambam, you want to talk about Ovdei Avodah Zarah, you want to talk about Gentiles? Look at Dirachei Adarchei Noam. Says the Rambam in Source 30, Afilu HaGoyim, even Goyim, Tzivu Chachomim Levakar Choleim, you got to visit their sick, Ulikbor Meseim, and to bury their dead, Ulefarnas Aniyim, you got to support their charities, their hunger, you got to cure hunger, food, Chicago Food Repository, we got to participate there also. Halacha is balanced with different forces. It's not just one element. There are many elements that go into every question. And this is what Rav Shlomo Zalman had. There's a landmark psak in Source 31. A man came to Yeshivas Kol Torah, Rav Shlomo Zalman, the great posik, the Hador, Zichrono Levracha was. And he came into the yeshiva to visit. A non-observant man. Well, you know what it says in Shulchan Aruch? It says in Shulchan Aruch that if someone will not make a bracha, you're not allowed to offer them food. Because it's putting a stumbling block in front of them. If I offer you food, and I know you're not going to make a bracha, I'm causing you to sin. I can't offer you food. Said the students to Rav Shlomo Zalman, what should we do? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, give them a drink. Why? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you know why? Because there are two halachic principles at work here. One is lifnei iver, causing them to drink without a bracha. And then there's another lifnei iver, causing them to hate Yiddishkeit, hate Hashem, hate Talmidei Chachamim. That's worse! You're better off giving them a drink, and they won't think that we're so insular, so insensitive, so cruel. Halacha is a balance, just like Hashkafa. It's not one din in a vacuum. You always have to look at all the pieces together in one picture. So now let's bring ourselves to a few last points. The first is keeping in mind that on some level we believe in Yiddishkeit, in pluralism. Rav Lichtenstein points out that pluralism is the radical legitimacy of conflicting faith commitments. There are different drachim of Avodas Hashem, legitimate ones. And then there are ones that we tolerate, which he says is to suffer the pressure of what is not only different, but in my light, thoroughly erroneous. But nonetheless, we refrain from exercising the power of coercing. And then there's a third category. That's called where we have to make a machal. We have to stand up and say, we protest. We protest. We will exert our power to say that it's wrong. Now, how do you establish that something is in fact wrong? It's not so easy. If you look on page 34, I don't have time for this tonight, but this is just an interesting Ramban, Nachmanides, in his introduction to the Melchamos, his commentary on Shas, where he points out the following. He says, you know what? I'm about to get into a little tiff with the Bala Mor. He has an interlocutor who he fights all the time. And he says, you know what the truth is? In every dispute, in every Talmudic dispute, it's almost impossible, he says, to actually prove someone else wrong. I can make cogent arguments, I can bring proofs, but can I actually disprove you with chalkushos chalutos? Very hard. So it's very hard to prove that somebody else is absolutely wrong. In general, the way things go, either you have a tradition from your posek, your prominent rabbinic authority, you have a rabbinic authority, you can follow them. Or let's say it's not your personal rabbinic authority, but it's a commonly accepted rabbinic authority. So it might be pluralistic to say that's elu ve'elu sometimes. I might tolerate it, I might say it's wrong, but I'm not going to protest against it. But if you don't have any serious rabbinic authority, so then it will apply to the third category of tochacha, of macha, of rebuke. In this case, everyone, without a question, any legitimate posek has come out and said, look at the Rambam at page 35. Look at what is a Kiddush Hashem and what is a Chilul Hashem, Rabosai, the Chilul Hashem that's going on now in the world. It's E.F. Charlotte Shire. We can't even imagine. Who knows if in the history of humanity, because of the proliferation of knowledge today, of information, there has ever been such a Chilul Hashem where people equate, someone pointed out, they equate Torah with Taliban. Rahman al-Itzlan, Chilul Hashem like this. We have to protest. Now, protest is a complicated section. We could talk about that a whole nother night. There's an article that you can take a look at that's referenced here on page 36 about public demonstrations. I don't want to spend too much time. I just want you to know there's a whole literature just about this. Should we stand outside the street and yell, hey, hey, hey? Should we do that? Some say yes, some say no. Not so simple. In general, I think there's probably a different way. Although I will say one important observation. If you look on page 38, skip 37 for a second. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who's a Rav in Bnei Brak, and Rav Elyashiv, both of them, about 25 years ago, came out and said, yes, our community needs to protest Chilul Shabbos in Israel. We need to protest vigorously. Why? Not because of the mitzvah of tochacha, separate from the mitzvah of rebuke. Why? We need to stand out and say, we can't tolerate this evil. For ourselves, not for them. Forget them. We can't tolerate this for ourselves. So I would humbly observe that if the community cannot tolerate Chil Shabbos, we also shouldn't tolerate Chil Hashem. We need to come out and have a public protest against people who spit on 8-year-old girls. That's what we need to protest. But that's for this camp. Other camps who are not in favor of big chanting protests, we have a different derech. The derech of Rav Aryeh Levin. The story on page 37, which you can read later. There are two stories, but I'll just tell you one of them. Rav Aryeh was walking as Shabbos was about to start. On Friday afternoon, he was dressed, you know, for Shabbos in his Shabbos finest with his drymel, his beautiful hadras panim, Rav Aryeh, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim. He was walking down the street, and he encountered a man who was looking for directions for his hotel, a Jewish young man with a cigarette in his mouth. It's Friday night. What does Rav Aryeh do? Rav Aryeh looks at the man. He says, you know what? I'll show you where the hotel is. And he starts going out of his way to walk the man to his hotel. And as they're talking, Rav Aryeh starts engaging him in conversation. Starts talking to him where he's from, what he's doing, what brings him to Yerushalayim, where is he? When they get to the hotel, the young man takes a cigarette out of his mouth. He throws it on the floor and he looks at Rav Aryeh and he says, you broke me. He says, I want you to know, I never cared, never interested me in the slightest. But I just realized that this is not the right thing. Talking to you made me realize you can't smoke on Shabbos. I tell you from right now, I will never ever smoke another cigarette on Shabbos. You want to know how to be mochiach someone? That's the way to do it. That's the way to have influence on somebody. I'd say that's an ideal. What's the takeaway for us? Look, it's not really connected with us. It's not our community. But I would call on us to consider an amazing concept. Go back 100 years. Who is the leader of what we can call, quote-unquote, the Haredi community? The leader of the Haredi community, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, the head of the Yeshuv HaYashan. And who is his great opponent, his great, quote-unquote, nemesis? Rav Kook. Diametrically opposed viewpoints. But do you know that in the early teens, there was a group of rabbis who went to the north, to the farms, to meet with the secular farmers and try to be mechazik them in their Yiddishkeit? Who went out there? Take a look on page 39. This is a piece, I sent this to Rabbi Mitanki by email, because this is a book, it's 50 pages long, but you can actually get this today, called Eilamase, the original description of their travels in the north. Who signed the Rabbanim who went? Harav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook and Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. They went together. Rabbo said, what we need to do is we need to build bridges with Torah communities, even if we don't see everything the same way. We need to build bridges so we can work together to excoriate and reject the radical elements. That's what we need to do. We need to follow the path of Rav Kook and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld to look to the real Gedolim of how to work together and totally reject this unfortunate age-old phenomenon of hooligans, of biryonim, and so that we can create for our community, we can create, please God, a Kiddush Hashem. Yishkoyach.